Play Ball. Play Ball with Babe Ruth. Play Ball with the Navy. The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the immortal Babe is the man who knew him so well, his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
One of Babe Ruth's most exciting adventures took place when I was at sea on Navy maneuvers. Eddie, who was the Yankees' bat boy at the time, is going to tell you how the big fella risked his life against a tough Chicago hoodlum. But before you meet Eddie, I know you'll be interested in a short message from Jackson Beck. Come in, Jack.
Well, Steve, a few minutes ago before the show, you and Gardner Malloy, the tennis star who's our guest today, were yarning about some of the strange and wonderful places you've been with the Navy. Why not tell everybody?
Sure, Jack. It's not unusual for any Navy man to have been around the world a couple of times. If you're an American, the chances are you've got some red-blooded love of adventure in you. And a yen for the strange, exotic cities of the world. Shanghai, Stockholm, Ceylon, and Rome. And rolling down to Rio with a great ship under you and the infinite sky above. Gibraltar, Burma, London, and Paris. Bullfights in Lisbon, the pyramids in Egypt, the temples of Rangoon. Those are the things that a Navy man sees free. Believe me, that's the life for a young fella. And you can make it one of the finest careers in the world, too. For there's more than just fun and travel in the Navy. There's education, the chance to be a specialist in one of the many Navy skills. There's fast advancement, too, and the security that everyone wants. For under the Navy's liberal retirement plan, you're guaranteed a lifetime income.
Sounds good to me, Steve.
It is good, Jack. Very good indeed. And if you're a young man over 17, be sure to get all the details at your nearest Navy recruiting office.
And now here's Eddie, the Yankees bat boy, and the adventures of Babe Ruth.
I was late getting into the clubhouse with my bats one day, and all the players were gone, except Babe. He was across the room rummaging through a trunk, and I noticed a little kid in front of his locker.
I got an extra fielder's glove you can have, Jackie. And maybe a baseball cap, too. How's that?
Oh, gee, thanks, Babe.
Hey, what did you just take out of the Babe's locker, kid?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Give me what you took out of his locker.
I didn't take nothing. Let me go.
I saw you. Give me what you took out of the Babe's locker.
Let me go. You're hurting, you dirty little thief. Give me it.
Come on, hit it over.
Hold on here. Eddie, cut it out.
I'll fix this little...
Cut it out, I said, and I'll let him go. What's the idea of jumping this little guy, Eddie?
This is the idea, Babe. Here, look what he swiped out of your locker.
That's my World Series watch.
Uh-huh.
Jackie, did you try to steal my watch?
I didn't want to, Babe, honest. But...
You were walking in your sleep, huh?
Lay off, Eddie. Go on, son.
Oh, now, look, Babe, you don't want to listen to a phony sob story. This is a bad, no good kid.
There aren't any bad kids, Eddie. Some of them just get wrong ideas sometimes. Now, come on, Jackie, stop crying. Tell me why you stole my watch.
Well, it was on account of Duke. This big boy. He makes all new kids in the neighborhood pay him $10, or else he beats him up. I couldn't get any $10, so he said I had to come in here and steal a watch. Or he'd beat me up, so I'd have to go to the hospital.
Ah, that's a lot of baloney.
It is.
We're going to find out if it is or not. Look, Jackie, where is this Duke character?
He's waiting for me outside in his car, but...
Okay, let's go out and see him.
No, Babe, if he knows I squealed, oh, he'll kill me.
Oh, no, he won't.
There he goes. That was Duke. He saw us, Babe.
Hey, that guy looks even bigger than you, Babe.
He used to be a professional fighter. Oh, gosh, now he knows I squealed on him. He'll...
Don't be afraid, Jackie. He won't bother you anymore.
He will. He
won't. Now he knows I'm behind you. But just in case he does, you get in touch with me right away. Understand? Wherever I am.
The big fella didn't know what he was letting himself in for when he told Jackie that. And neither did I. But we found out the next day at the ballpark. We were trailing the White Sox by one run in the eighth inning when Combs worked the pitcher for a pass, and Sewell singled. Babe fouled one off and broke his bat. He came back to the dugout for another bat when one of the clubhouse attendants came running up to him and said something to him. Well, the next thing we knew, the big fella dropped his bat and started through the dugout to the tunnel. Manager Huggins tried to stop him.
Hey, where are you going? Babe, come back here! Babe! Hey, where are you?
Babe, wait for me. Where are you going?
Get my car, Eddie. Duke's got Jackie.
What? Where?
In an old car barn. Some friend of Jackie's phoned for me. Duke said he was going to kill the kid.
We tore up 39th Street in the big fella's car and pulled up behind some boarded-up car barns. Duke's Red Roaster was there. We piled into those big, half-dark barns and saw two husky kids, each holding one of little Jackie's arms. Duke was standing in front of Jackie, and he had a lead pipe in his hand. And Duke was saying...
Take my advice, will you? I told you I'd get you, a little punk. Squeal on me, will you?
Don't hit me, Duke.
I'm going to fix you good.
Let him alone, Duke.
Hold on.
Babe, it's
Babe. Babe Ruth, I'm getting on.
Daddy, Duke!
Hey, come back here, you guys.
No, let him go, Eddie. Duke here's the one we want. Now, look, Duke, I won't.
I'll teach you to keep your nose out of my business, Ruth. Like this.
Babe, look out.
How do you like it, big shot? Take this.
Babe.
And this.
Babe.
Oh, my gosh.
The big fellow was down on one knee, and there was blood on his forehead. I jumped in, and Duke hit me across the face with the lead pipe, sending me reeling. Then he was standing over Babe again, slugging him. But in a minute, the big fellow was up and fighting for his life. He worked his way in, let fly, and Duke was down. He got right up, and Babe dropped him again. Duke had trouble getting up. When he finally made it, he could hardly raise his hands. He was ripe for the kill.
Send him to Dreamland, Babe.
Let him have it, Babe. The old K.O.
No, boys. He's had enough. Am I right, Duke?
Yeah.
Nuts to that, Babe. He wasn't going to let Jackie off that easy.
Well, I never hit a man when he's down, Eddie. Anyhow, I don't think Duke will cause Jackie any more trouble. Or any other youngster either. How about it, Duke?
Well, I don't know.
You see, boys, Duke just had to learn you can't push people around and figure to get away with it because you're big and tough. It's not only bad sportsmanship, it's dumb. Somebody just as big as you is bound to show up someday and cut you down to your right size. Let's go now, Eddie. Come on, Jackie.
Wait, Babe.
Ain't you gonna have me pinched?
No, Duke. Maybe I ought to, but I got a hunch you learned your lesson today. If I'm wrong, well, you'll just get in a worse jam and the law will catch up with you. Let's get the car and get back to the park, boys. There's a ball game going on.
You must have gone soft in the head letting that Duke character go, Babe. Don't give me that baloney about his learning his lesson.
I think he did, Eddie. But I had another reason.
Yeah? What?
Jackie. If we had Duke arrested, there'd be a trial. That stuff about Jackie trying to steal my watch would have to come out. And Duke might deny he forced Jackie to do it.
Well, sure he'd deny it.
Well, that's just it. Jackie couldn't prove Duke did force him, and plenty of people would believe Jackie was a thief. He might even draw a reform school stretch.
Say, that's right, Babe, but
that's
still...
That's why I made Jackie promise to keep quiet about what happened today. And I want you to promise the same thing, Eddie.
Well, sure, if you say so, Babe.
That's my boy. Now, if only... Uh-oh.
What now?
I can see the scoreboard from here. The game's over and we lost.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Well, here's where we face the music for running out on the game.
You mean, Babe, you refuse to tell me why you walked out on the game today?
What? I can't, Hug. I wish I could, but... Well, I just can't.
Okay, then. Turn in your uniform.
Huh?
Oh, no. You committed the one unpardonable sin of a ball player, walking out on a game and on his team. Not even the great Babe Ruth can get away with that.
Oh, but...
You're true, Babe. Finished. Washed up. That goes for you, too, Eddie. You're both no longer Yankees.
The newspaper headlines the next morning were a foot high. Babe Ruth fired from the Yankees. Reporters practically broke down the door of his hotel room in Chicago, but he wouldn't let them in. I pleaded with him to give out the real story, but he wouldn't.
I told you, Eddie, if I talk, Duke will be arrested. And Jackie, too, and both their lives will be ruined.
Oh, now, don't tell me you care what happens to that no-good Duke character.
Well, call me a dope if you want to, but I still say there are no bad kids, Eddie. Only good kids with wrong ideas.
Here we go again.
Babe, let me in. Babe!
It's the Miller at the door. It's Huggins.
Don't let him in. Or anybody else.
But, Babe, we've got
him. No, Eddie. No.
Well, it's
No, none of you reporters get in. Just Huggins. Hurry up, Hug.
Babe, you stupid son of a gun.
Now, hold it, Hug. You already called me enough names.
I'm going to call you a lot more. You're not only stupid, stubborn, thick-headed, ridiculous.
Oh, now, hold on.
But you're also the finest, swellest, greatest guy I ever knew. Put it there, Babe. Tell me there's no hard feelings.
But
what goes on here?
I got the whole story just a little while ago. You were standing by that little kid and why you left the game the other
day. Wait, Hug, you mean that little dummy Jackie talked just to help me?
Well, he must have.
Jackie? Who's Jackie?
Say, where did you get the story?
Why, from Parker.
Parker?
Who's Parker?
Are you guys trying to kid me?
Well, no, not at all.
Well, I don't know any Parker.
Well, I don't get this, but wait a minute. Come in here, Parker. No, just Parker. Here he is. Now, what in the world?
Hey, Duke.
It's Duke.
Hello, Mr. Ruth.
It's not Mr. Ruth, it's Babe. And what do you mean, opening your big mouth? What do you think I kept mine shut for?
I know why. Give me a break, but...
Not only you. It was Jackie, too. I don't want his name dirtied
up. Now, take it easy. I didn't give out his name to Mr. Huggins, and I'm not gonna. I just told him what happened. I said I might be a heel, but I'm not so big a heel. I can keep my trap shut and let you take the rap for me when... Well, after what you did for me, not turning me in and talking to me like I wasn't just a punk.
I must be dreaming.
Oh, you're not a punk, Duke. You're okay now.
Holy cats, it's 2:10. The game starts in 20 minutes. You're going to play today, Babe, and get us back in a race for the pennant.
Oh, am I going to play today? Tell him, Eddie.
I haven't got time. I got to get to the park and sell those Sox pitchers some life insurance. Oh, they're going to need it today.
The night we left Chicago after we said goodbye to Jackie and Duke, I was on the observation platform with Babe. The big fella kind of chuckles a little and says to me...
You see what I mean, Eddie?
About what, Babe?
About bad kids.
There aren't any bad kids, Babe. Good kids just pick up some bad ideas sometimes, but show them how to read the score and they'll straighten out okay.
You know, Eddie, I think you got something there.
Our guest is Gardner Malloy, who has been national doubles champion for 4 years and was a member of the Davis Cup team for 3 successive years. Much more than all that, Gardner Malloy was a skipper of an LST in the amphibious forces in the Mediterranean during the war and is the veteran of 5 beachhead landings. As an old and experienced Navy man, as well as one of America's great tennis players, he has a few things to say.
I went into the Navy's V-7 course just after the war started and spent 4 rich full years as a Navy man. And I think I can say from my own experience that it is a full life. And with plenty of athletics, too. Of course, I didn't play as much tennis during the war years as I have since or before, but I still played enough and learned plenty, too, in the very field in which I was interested, executive work. Life aboard ship is really pretty wonderful. You get to see the world, you have adventure, and you know all the time that you're getting paid perhaps even better than you might in civilian life. I can recommend the Navy as a lifetime career and do it in very definite terms because I not only know from my own experience, but I've seen what it has done for other young men. As a matter of fact, my tennis coach, Slim Harbit of Miami, who was in the Navy too, incidentally, has often remarked that a lot of my present physical fitness is due to my strenuous Navy background. I really think, and I honestly say this, that the Navy is a great life.
Thanks very much, Gardner Malloy. I think a lot of America's young men will accept your recommendation that Navy life is a good life.
Steve, I think a lot of them too will want a copy of that colorful, interesting book on Navy sports. It's called Play Ball Around the World. And anybody can get it free simply by asking for it at the nearby Navy recruiting office. Now, Steve, what story have you got for us next week?
Well, next week, Jack, I want to tell you about a beanball pitcher who tried to finish Babe Ruth and brought about the most sensational exploit in the big fella's career.
Sounds great, Steve, and we'll all be listening. The Adventures of Babe Ruth is written by Ben Freeman, produced by Woody Close, directed by Ronald Dawson, and presented by the United States Navy.